Maybe because I'm psychotic, but I'm kind of hung up recently about cheating. And exactly what that means and why it might be more positive than I was told it was when I was in like fifth grade staring at other people's math tests. I recently listened to a guy who just wrote a book and the name escapes me. I'll link out to it or something if someone is really curious. But this guy is obsessed with phone freaking. And this was before my time, certainly. This was like 70s, 80s. People would, you know, Bell telephones. The telephone lines, you could actually hack them, hack these phones by sending different types of tones into them. So I could make, if I had like a little machine or a little instrument next to my phone and made the like da da da, I could actually make free long distance telephone calls across the world and scam the system. And this was an extremely nerdy thing to do, if that's not obvious from the description, and is very much like present-day hacking on the internet. But it didn't really impact Bell as a company, but obviously they were worried about it taking off. But these people, you know, Steve Jobs was a phone freaker, and which is really interesting to me because here's a thing that we're – that Bell was very worried about, that the government was very worried about, that was looked upon as a crime, which I guess technically it was. But here's one of the greatest innovators of the last 50 years taking a large part in that trend, in that phenomenon, phone freaking. And that to me sounds like cheating. And I don't know what you guys think about this because obviously we are trained from a very young age to not cheat, to not scam systems, and to not go break the rules. But to me, that seems like an intelligent move. And now I look, I live my life, work my job, try and figure out how to balance all the things in my life. And sometimes I think maybe cheating is a better sign of intelligence than following the rules, and that cheating is often required, not breaking the law per se, but just scamming the system or playing by your own set of rules in order to accomplish things. I don't know what you guys think about that. If I now think, man, maybe I would teach my kid to cheat, which is, I guess, a horrible thing to do. So I should probably not. I don't maybe see. I still feel guilty about it. I still think cheating's wrong, even though I think cheating is right.
So I don't think it's a black and white issue. And I think it very much depends on what type of cheating you're busy engaging in. Like, for example, one form of cheating, insider trading.
Probably wrong.
That's probably wrong.
by the government's definition, is wrong.
I think that doesn't really require any additional intelligence or spunk or anything, really. It's just you happen to know the right person or you happen to work in the right job that gives you access to this information that the rest of the public doesn't have. And so basically, I mean, if you were to allow that, then nobody else could really trade on these markets because, or at least they would be at a severe disadvantage.
But obviously, we've deemed that morally unacceptable.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that that's an example of a form of cheating that I would think is definitely not acceptable.
But where's the line then? Like, don't you need people to cheat on that level for you to learn how those infrastructures operate and to make them better? That's what I often think about. You know, if we don't, because we don't really nurture cheating and we don't allow people to break the rules sometimes because you'll ultimately punish them right away. But I often think about, do you ever see the movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah.
Like, that movie is about a guy who's totally, fraud, scammed the system, making his own checks. And then they went on to hire him to help catch other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he effectively broke the system so that he could catch other people who attempt to do it the same way. I don't think we really teach, especially young kids, to do that.
Well, I think the difference here, and the reason that I think we view the Steve Jobs things with some level of ambiguity, is I think there's two parts to the cheating. There's the actual ill-gotten, usually material gain you get from it, and then there's just the joy of solving a puzzle. Like, because there's a rule and trying to break that rule, that's almost inherently a puzzle. So that's something where you kind of have a very high puzzle index, and then the actual material gain you get from it is very low. I don't even necessarily think that. I think the material gain from cheating in that case provides an incentive, because it's like, oh, look at this free thing I can get. That's like a motivator. But really, it's about solving the puzzle. I think that that's the bigger motivator there, and that's why we're not like, oh, it's not hard to insider trade, and look, you get a boatload of money from it.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I think that the money to difficulty ratio is relevant, I think.
But
because when the payoff is less, then it becomes much more clearly like an intellectual problem.
But then how do you foster people to think in the way that, Ryan, you're saying is positive, as like cracking the code or engaging life as a puzzle in some way, which seems more positive? You kind of need to foster that in order for people to think like that.
I guess for me, I feel like there are enough real puzzles in life out there that we don't need to encourage people to go and try to solve the illegal puzzles.
But what do you consider the real puzzles that end up challenging people?
I mean, if there's computer programs that need to be fixed, or there actually are some kind of cryptograph problem out there that needs to be solved.
Well, so Pfister, like the ultimate example, I think, of cheating that would be is a serious problem that people would love to see solved is something like NP completeness. Like if you were to prove that P equals NP, basically,
can you give me background on this?
So P equals NP is
remember, I have a BFA
problem, which basically says if the P is the set of problems where you can solve it, you can solve the issue, solve the problem in polynomial time, which is basically it's solvable quick enough to be practical. NP is a set of problems where if you have the correct answer, you know that this is the correct answer, you can prove it's the correct answer in polynomial time. Again, just quick enough to be practical. And so the question is, which is an open problem, are these two sets of problems the same? And we don't know. But if you were to solve this problem and the answer were yes, they are the same, you could break every credit card and every encryption that we use ever. So you could break into everyone's bank accounts, all their credit cards. You could basically steal everybody's money.
Right.
So to some extent that is, you know.
But don't you want someone to do that?
I mean, there are scores of people trying to solve this problem.
Right.
So again, that's kind of like in the gray area of, is this attempting to cheat? I think most of them are attempting to solve it for the intellectual problem, not because they want to steal everybody's money out of their bank accounts. But conceivably, that could be their motive.
Right. And I think that's what irked the government when these phone freakers were kind of tapping into the phones and like scamming it. They helped a problem become aware, but they also could eventually create the downfall of Bell telephones. And that's in quotes, because really, why would they do that? They're doing it as punks versus doing it as like terrorists of some sort. But like, to kind of bring this down a notch, I have been thinking a lot about like our time in high school when I come to this conversation, and think about just taking a test and like what I need to do to be successful taking that test. And kids today, I'm sure they're in the same boat. I think about going into a big math test, and I had my TI-83 calculator, and I would sit there and hope that I had the right I would take my TI-83 calculator and I would put like little notes to myself, because I could embed them in code. And that was cheating in some ways. I mean, I'm aiding myself in a way that's not just me sitting down and taking a test. Now, let me ask you, have you ever done that? Did you ever do that in high school?
No, I did not. But right. It had occurred to me that that would be possible.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm opening up here.
Yeah, this makes me think of a certain physics class, I think, where this happened a lot that I did not take.
Well, I didn't find it to be cheating because I'm basically supplementing myself. And maybe I should have thought about it as cheating, but I didn't, because I thought, here's a way for me to help myself that still requires my knowledge to be able to do it. But I am essentially just aiding myself. I'm giving myself prompts in order to help solve the problems that I might face in a test setting.
Well, that's what is really funny about, I think, school in general, is where you see a lot of this issue, where you have an artifact or a tangible problem that needs to be solved, which is writing the right answers on this test. You know, it's being able to produce this knowledge at the required time. And then they want you to solve that problem in a certain way, which is, you know, learning all that knowledge and memorizing it in your head and then being able to spout it out from there, as opposed to simply being able to reference it quickly. And I think that's where, again, this is another area I think you get a more moral ambiguity about the cheating, because you're really just solving the problem in a different way.
Right.
And I think that once you get out of, like, the school setting, there's less – you don't see that conflict as much, because most people care about the end result, not necessarily about the process you took to get there.
That's why I guess I think that – and I want people to learn the correct way, and I don't know what that correct way necessarily is. I want people to be smart. I want people to have knowledge, but I don't think that we really teach people, like you're saying, to solve problems the way we do in real life.
Well, so
by any means possible in some ways.
So with tests, I don't think anyone is claiming that if you are capable of writing down the correct answers to all of these questions in the allotted time period, that means that you are like a superior intellectual being and you deserve to get better grades and everything. That's not the point. The point is we're trying to evaluate what you know. And that happens to be the best methodology that they have for doing that, at least, you know, or at least one of the best methodologies for doing that. And so basically by bringing in the outside knowledge and referring to stuff, then you're kind of defeating the purpose of the examination.
To play devil's advocate to that, if I encounter a problem in my everyday life, I don't have just my knowledge. I have the knowledge of the people around me and the internet, and I have all sorts of different places to quickly tap for answers. So it's not really true to life to be alone with your own mind in some ways.
That's true. But there is already an in most classes, at least, there is an outlet for that already, which is projects and reports and all these sorts of things where you can tap into whatever else is out there in the world and you do that. And this is perhaps a topic for a different conversation, but we do have now in our society with the internet, where everything information is so easily come by, where we're kind of rewiring our brains as instead of becoming repositories of knowledge and information, they are becoming kind of like, so for the reference, like a book, say, instead of being the text of the book, it's just the index. Mm. Like our brains are becoming the index indices of a book instead of the actual book. So we're just learning, okay, what do I need to do if I encounter this problem? Where do I need to look it up? And to some extent, yeah, perhaps that's more efficient. Because, I mean, given that you have access to the internet, but if you don't, then like then you're completely out of luck. And I think the test is attempting to provide like a balance between the two.
So I think you can encourage your kid, your hypothetical kid here, Matt, to
my hypothetical kid.
Yeah, to like solve problems. You know, you can teach them to think, you know, quote, outside the box. I guess but they don't necessarily have to go ahead with the cheating. Like, to use an example for me, I had to take this training for work. And one of the things that they did is they didn't display the button. It was online training. They didn't display the button to go to the next screen until you had watched all of the current screen. So I actually went into the code and I was like, you know what? I want to figure out. I bet I could cheat at this if I wanted to. And I went in there and I found the code and I found this something that I could type into the browser console that would make it automatically jump to the next screen.
You cheated. Well, you're a cheater.
No. I figured out how to do it and I did it for one screen. And then I had the moral debate. I was like, can I do this? And I was like, no, I can't.
Really? You felt really guilty about it.
Well, yeah, because it would, you know, it's not right. You're supposed to learn the content.
I mean,
was it content you felt you needed to know?
Some of it.
Then that is
not a lot of it. I think I could have gone through it more efficiently. I was tempted to go through it more efficiently than that. But, you know, in the end, I don't know. In the end, I think I'm a rule follower. But in this case, I kind of tried to segment out the puzzle part of the cheating from the actual gaining part of the cheating.
I have to be honest with you. I mean, other than maybe like throwing myself a few notes in high school to enhance my knowledge during a big exam or something, I am the same with you. I am a big rule follower. I've never been the type – I remember doing labs in high school too where it would be like, okay, here are the 8 steps, and my partners will always be like, we can just go to step 5, and I would have a problem. Like I just need to go through those and all the steps, and I need to follow all the rules. But I also feel – that maybe I will not innovate and I will not challenge and I will not have breakthroughs like other people will if you don't cheat, if you don't try and circumvent the system in some way.
I think what you're describing there is not so much cheating as not following the exact process that is laid out for you and instead figuring out what needs to be done and creating your own way of doing it.
Aim for efficiency.
Yeah, to some extent it's efficiency. But it's more than that, it's understanding of what is going on.
I want to hack life.
Yeah, life hacking.
Am I a big cheater now? I thought everyone put little things in their TI-85s.
I think it was widespread. Well, I think we all recall like Mr. Ostro's like AP physics class that I did not take this class.
Do you
remember this? There was like, oh, it's not cheating. It's just a program we have called Physics 5 and then Physics 6.
Now, for the record, I wasn't a part of this. This was like a bunch of people. We didn't need to do that.
You had your own ways of cheating.
No. Hey, I didn't cheat.
No, I would never suspect that you cheated.
The only way I cheated in that class was we had homework due every day, and Ostro always had a very specific way that he would go around the room, and our table was always the last one he would come to. So I would do my homework while he was checking everyone else's homework.
That's cheating.
By doing my homework, I mean write something that looked like homework because he didn't check it. He just checked that it was there.
See, that's effective cheating. That works.
That's the thing where I guess the gain you're getting is laziness, but I think that's more of the thrill of trying to hack the system a little bit.
I don't need to do homework. Yeah, that's basically what it was about.
I'm going to have to leave that part in.
I hope Mr. Austin listens to the Sophisticus.